So I bring Chris Burke in here without further ado. While the other students were busy consuming alcohol, poisoning themselves in the wee small hours of the morning, Chrissy Boy Burke was stopping right next door on the corner of 17th and Cumberland at the Smoothie King, where he was getting the Caribbean Way. And that's why Chris Burke played Major League Baseball and many of the students became Major League screw-ups. Burkey, buenos dias to you!
What's up? What's up? How you doing?
What's up? How you doing? Hey, Burkey, let's talk. How you doing? How you enjoying the broadcasting thing, Burkey?
Man, it's fun. I'm running into a little travel snag today. I flew into Houston and had about a 2-hour layover where I was doing a bunch of homework and getting all nice and prepped, and I ate a little breakfast, made my way down to my terminal, and he's like, "Oh yeah, we made an announcement about 30 minutes ago. That flight's delayed to 1 o'clock." I'm like, "That's not gonna work." So just hopped in a rental car, and now I'm driving to College Station.
So how far is your drive?
Well, it depends on how fast I decide to drive, but it should be somewhere between an hour and a half and 2 hours.
Nah, you're okay, Perky. You're gonna make it.
Yeah, I'm good.
You know, it's commercial travel, bro. You got spoiled all those years flying on chartered planes. Now you're like the rest of us.
Yeah, I'm not crying.
Burkey, how special. We forget kind of what it's like around here. We're going to see the women go through it right now on the softball side starting tonight, and that's a fun game to watch. Do you follow that at all, that women's softball?
Yeah, women's softball, it makes for good TV. I can't say that I, you know, will make sure that I'm watching it, but certainly if I'm around the TV, I'll dial it in, especially if the Lady Vols are on. Am I allowed to say Lady Vols anymore? Or?
Interesting.
Interesting.
Isn't it weird? Isn't that weird that that's even a consideration? Isn't that strange?
It is a little bit.
Burkey, let's talk. This tournament, this chance for these kids, compared to the postseason in Major League Baseball from a player standpoint, is it a similar feel?
No, I think it's a totally different feel. I mean, you know, the vast majority of these kids will you know, not go on to play any more baseball, and if they do, it'll be very brief at the lower levels of minor league baseball or independent baseball. Some of these kids have never played on any kind of televised event, much less a nationally televised event. So, like Dayton's in this regional I'm covering now, and they're red hot, ran through the 8-10 tournament, won a bunch of games to finish their season, and they got a great group of seniors that's kind of led that club. A couple of them will probably get a chance to play pro ball, but the reality is most of them won't. And, I mean, they're making memories. They're making memories that they'll revisit the rest of their lives. I mean, last year, you know, Tennessee did a great job of bringing back our 2001 team. And, man, those guys, we're like brothers. I mean, we sit around, we tell the same old stories, and we laugh just as hard now as we did 10 years ago. And college baseball and college athletics in general is so special because of the friendships and relationships you make. And so I love covering it just because I know what it's all about.
What do you remember about it, Burke, specifically from your playing days? What are there plays, or is it more the relationships and just seeing?
I mean, there's definitely plays I remember. There's moments, defining moments, games. There's, you know, downs, there's ups, some personal, some team-based, and then obviously a bunch of relationships that will last me the rest of my life. So, you know, I just remember specifically getting our tail kicked in for the first year. I remember my freshman year at Auburn, we threw 70 pitches before we got an out. In the first inning at Auburn, something crazy. I mean, it was just absolutely insane. And we just got our tail kicked in most of that year. And then the next year, we started to grow up, and we were right in every game, but we couldn't figure out how to close off the game. And then by the time we were juniors, we were the big dogs on the street. We were.
Where'd Burkey go, Brownie boy? Was that me or was that Burkey?
No, you're fine. He's dropped. Let me get him back.
The person you called isn't...
Berkey, come on back, Berkey. One thing I do want to ask him about, and we'll notice this year, is these dialed down. I like what they've done with the game, with the equipment, with reeling the game in. The game is a better game now, reeled in and dialed down. And we'll visit with Berkey about that. We will visit with Berkey regarding this. Of course, the Lady Vols underway tonight. Let's look at our news of the day, and then we'll get Berkey back in here. Ronnie Boy Hartman, let me know. Let me give me a sense, if you will, when we get him back. RIP, by the way, presented by our friends at Duncan Automotive, 10,000 block of Parkside Drive. You can find more at DuncanAutoOnline.com. I look on there all the time. DuncanAutoOnline.net. DuncanAutoOnline.net is what I'm looking at right now, and the list goes on and on and on and on and on of the things there are to be seen there at DuncanAutoOnline.net. As Chris Burke is joining us, as soon as we get him back, we'll get him back at 23 past the hour. Other stuff that we'll talk about today on the program, surely other stuff.
He's back.
Mike Slide's power over Jim Delaney, it ain't even close. Florida and LSU annually might be going by the wayside. Gary Pinkel says, we want Arkansas. We want a geographical match. Kid Gilchrist and Davis, I understand those guys at the top of the NBA draft. Bradley Beal from Florida, are somebody kidding me? Did you watch the USA last night and Brazil in soccer? If somebody would have told those Brazilian players, if you score 10 goals, we'll give you $4 million each, those guys could have scored 10 goals last night. That was embarrassing. What is the NBA, NBC's worst nightmare? How about an NHL final game that goes into overtime and screws their schedule up that much more? Can anybody honestly tell me, after watching the Celtics and Heat last night in Game 2, that that's not sports entertainment? That, the officiating in the NBA, now we already know that Donahue guy was totally on the take. We know that, right? And we already know that there have been other NBA referees who have gotten caught up in scandals like doing things, transferring frequent flyer miles to each other, and things like manipulating their expense account. I mean, these are not the most, that's not the most savory group of people. I mean, that is fact. Those things I'm telling you are, that Donahue guy, that's fact. That's not fiction, that's fact. When you watch last night's game, the last 5 minutes, can you honestly tell me that that's on the level? I'll tell you what is on the level. Rondo's performance last night, 44-10 in 53 minutes, playing them all, was incredible at an incredibly high level. That guy is like a machine. Berkey, come on back in here as we visit today with Chris Burke, who's getting ready to head down to College Station. And Berkey, I want you to lay it.
Where's Rondo from?
He played at Kentucky. He's a New York boy.
Louisville, Kentucky, born and raised.
He's a Louisville, Kentucky boy?
Eastern High School. Then he went to, last year he went to Oak Hill. Yeah, Eastern High School.
Good kid?
I broke him down a couple times when he was growing up. He didn't want any piece of me.
Berkey, when you watch the NBA, do you ever wonder if that's sports entertainment when you're watching that game, the NBA game?
I hear you. I can't go there for any other reason than, I mean, I don't know the specific calls other than the one where Rondo gets hit in the head, but you can kind of see how the ref misses that call. I mean, I don't see the call specifically last night that would lend you to thinking that specific game. The one thing that is crazy in the NBA is how many times teams come back with 20-point deficits. I mean, it's just unbelievable. But, you know, a lot of that has to do with the 24-second clock.
Bronny Boy Hartman, you live and die with the Celtics. Get in here, producing the show today. Bronny Boy Hartman, last night's game looked like sports entertainment to me. Do you? I would like you to opine here. Thoughts?
It was a big tease, really. I mean, I thought all along that they were going to find a way to win, and then it just got taken away in the last few minutes. It just felt like a gut shot. And Rondo definitely got fouled there. It was 105-105, and there was no way. And then they go down, and Udonis Haslem dunks it, and it's over.
They weren't going to call it. And that's the deal.
I mean, I will say that there is something about great teams that when they finally realize, okay, we can't give up any more buckets, they figure out a way to get stopped. And when guys like LeBron and Battier and Wade and that Anthony Cat and Haslam, those type of guys decide to dig in their heels and play defense, you know, you're going to have to make a crazy shot to get a bucket. The Heat have a way of kind of stifling teams in the last couple minutes. The interesting part last night was that they actually converted offensively and won a close game because the Heat are usually so inept in close games.
Yes. And LeBron James, for whatever reason in those spots, just doesn't seem like the toughest guy in the world. And it's weird that he has superstar talent, but yet he seems to not have the makeup that usually comes with that skill set. And he just does, for whatever reason. You can't argue, I mean, nobody can argue that, Chris.
Can't argue that. I would say that last night I was actually proud of him because he after they drew up that pick and roll and he missed the layup and got the rebound and kicked it back out in regulation, he called for the ball. He literally ran up the way, took the ball right from him, and wanted the last shot, which has obviously been the knock on him that, you know, he doesn't appear to want that last shot. Last night he did. Not a great shot, but obviously we've seen MJ and Kobe make dozens of those, a little fadeaway, you know, 20-footer as the clock runs out. He missed it. But, you know, I would rather see a guy, you know, take it and miss it than constantly pass off or not even want the ball. So I thought that was a pretty big – and he made a lot of clutch free throws last night, so you got to give him a little credit there. But, no, there's no question LeBron's inability to close out games and appear to be comfortable with the ball in his hand as the clock winds down, it assures us that he will never be in that, you know, top group of elite players of all time. He doesn't have that it that those guys had.
No question. I couldn't have said it better myself as Chrissy Boy Burke joins us on the program. And we talk about he's doing the regional coming up this weekend. We could talk any sport with Berkey, though. You know that. Or he's down there in College Station this weekend. And Chris, I've got a special request for you. I would like you to give me the lay of the land when you get down there in terms of that school becoming a part of the Southeastern Conference. And also, you spent time in Round Rock, Texas. And also, you were in Houston. What are your thoughts on the SEC expanding that far? And if I'd have told you 7 or 8 years ago when you were piddling around in those parts that that was going to happen, what do you think your reaction would have been?
I would have said no way because, you know, the people of Texas are as prideful about this state and their athletics, as any part in the Southeast. But really, the game changer for the whole deal, as you well know, is the Longhorn Network.
Yes.
And Texas A&M just said, you know, basically we're not putting up with it. And I'm excited. I don't know if you've ever seen any pictures of this facility. I think it's the Bluebell Ice Cream Stadium, or forgive me if I got that wrong, but I believe that's what this – it's a $24 million facility, and it is absolutely spectacular, right up there with the LSUs and the South Carolinas of the world. And this place is sold out. Standing room only all weekend. So I'm excited to get that feel. I'm sure it'll feel like a Southeastern Conference venue. I tell you what, I was down in Tallahassee last time we talked, and that certainly had the feel of a Southeastern Conference weekend. So I love going to new campuses. That's one of the things I'm excited about, getting involved with this college broadcasting deal, is getting to see college campuses and feeling the energy that surrounds big-time athletic events on campuses.
Berkey, in the regional you're doing this weekend, home team favored, who else?
Well, you know, it's an interesting regional. You got Texas A&M, TCU, Ole Miss, and Dayton. And in that order as far as the seeds are concerned. And TCU has been a national, you know, power, as has Ole Miss, really, for the better part of the last decade. TCU is not hitting at all. I think they feature about a 260 team batting average. They play three or four freshmen regularly. They're pitching like they always do. I just don't see them being able to score enough runs to win this regional. Ole Miss is very dangerous offensively, and they have a top-of-the-line starter, but they're a little limited on their pitching depth and really come into the regional scuffling, having lost 6 of 7. So, you know, Texas A&M on paper certainly seems like the team to beat. They've got depth. They've got experience. Their pitching numbers are just out of this world. I mean, they got a couple kids with 100 innings pitched and like 15 walks. So they can do a little bit of everything. And really probably, if you look at the entire field, one of the teams that's not a national seed that I don't think anybody would be surprised if they, you know, made it to Omaha and or won it would be this Texas A&M team.
Darkie, strong words coming out of you. Tourney wise, across the board, across the country, who do you like? Who jumps out at you right now across the country?
You know, it's hard to bet against South Carolina the way they finished the season and with their pedigree.
Yes.
Obviously,
yes,
hosting a regional and in a position to host a super regional, it's going to be tough for South Carolina. For somebody to beat South Carolina, and once they get to Omaha, they're just going to have so much swagger and so much momentum. You got to like their chances. Florida, in the world of the new bats, Florida has tremendous depth pitching. They got a star player in their catcher, so you got to like Florida. And to me, the feel good story, kind of the sentimental favorite, would be this Florida State team that probably has the best position player group of any team in the country. And, you know, Mike Martin's been there 34 years, 13 College World Series appearances, and no national championships. So those are kind of three teams I got my eye on. Obviously, that sounds East Coast bias, but really I think the three best teams in the field.
What keeps a guy like that from winning it? What's the deal there?
Well, you know, college baseball, it's such a more complicated national championship system. I mean, you know, you're forced to win three games to get there, and now it's 2 out of 3 to win it. And so it's really a tournament based on depth as opposed to, you know, how good are your best players. And for whatever reason, the ball hadn't bounced their way. It's hard to believe you can get there 12 times and not win one. But obviously in the South, everybody familiar, you know, the Braves went to 15 straight playoffs and only won one. So it can happen. And unfortunately, the Coach Martin, who is his first class of guys you'll ever meet, he has still not won his last game, but he's got a dynamic group of position players. I saw them play against Miami, and they got a dangerous lineup from top to bottom, which very few people in today's college game feature. So if their pitching holds up, which they start a couple of freshman pitchers, if their pitching holds up, they'll have a real chance to win it.
Berkey, you're my boy. On the way out, do you have a thought on this 14 playoff they're about to bandy about? Do you have a thought on anything else, Berkey? The NBA, the Western Division, will the Spurs cut the Nets down? Berkey, I ask you.
Well, I would have never said they would, but man, if you don't appreciate what they're doing, you don't appreciate sports. What the Spurs are doing, still think Oklahoma City is going to make it a 7-game series, but at this point, I'd be crazy not to pick the Spurs up 2-0. I'm going to leave you on the way out with, I like all the positive energy you're giving the volunteer football program this summer, Tony. I appreciate that.
Been very positive.
Let me throw one little barb out there that I wanted to blog about on your deal. Remember this. Michael Jordan, from the time he won his first NBA championship to the time he retired as a Chicago Bull, never played a full season in the NBA where he did not win the world championship. 6 times to the NBA Finals, 6 championships, 6 Finals MVPs. So can we just, anybody that wants to put Kobe on Michael's level, just can you even picture Michael Jordan in the prime of his career not playing in the finals? Or losing the finals like Kobe's done twice. So let's just everybody back off the Kobe-Michael talk. Kobe's one of the all-time greats, but just let's leave Michael up there all by himself.
I mean, that is so well put. And you know what we do? There were people last night, embarrassingly, that cover that sport on Twitter that were talking about what an incredible performance it was from Rondo. It was an all-time, maybe the all-time. I'm like, no, actually it wasn't. But it was a fine game by him. It was tremendous that he stayed on the floor as long as he did. I don't know why people who cover that sport feel the need to reach back. Anybody who's of any age right now, let's say you're 30 and over, and you saw Michael Jordan, and you saw him in his prime, and you saw him in the early 90s, and you saw the way he dominated that decade, and you even saw him dating back to when I saw him debut back in 84 with the funky-looking shoes on, with a ragtag group of Chicago Bulls, know that the guy in our lifetime is the best player that's ever played, and it's not, Chris, it's not even close. It's not even close.
I mean, if you could put Jordan with Bynum and Artest,
come on,
and the supporting cast that Kobe has, you cannot say Kobe's supporting cast this year was lesser than the teams that Michael won six with. And again, I just go back. Michael never lost one. He went six times.
No.
He won six of them. Kobe's won five rings. He's only been the MVP in two of those championships.
Yes.
Shaq was the MVP in the first three. And,
yes.
So for me, as great as Kobe is, it's just a different, like you said, there's never, and unfortunately his post-career days haven't been very good, but
he's an idiot.
He's never been a greater winner in team sports, in my lifetime than Michael Jordan.
Berkey, I absolutely appreciate you. I love the fact that you're a sportsman. I love the fact that you get it done. Berkey, thank you, and have a Dwight Gooden.
Tony, go Vols. Appreciate you, brother.
I love him, man. That guy's my guy right there. Don't mess with Chrissy Boy Burke. That's my boy. As a my boy.